Be with you.
Amen.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. It's been kind of a wild and busy and exhausting week this week. We had Vacation Bible School, Created in Christ. It was a great opportunity to share the good news of who we are, God's special creation, who we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and who we are, children of the Heavenly Father. We pray that God would bless the message that went out, the children, the families, and that God's Word would continue to have its way with them. Pastor Morundi is in Wisner today, preaching a mission festival up there. We pray God's blessings on his message and his time on the road as well. A couple of words on our worship service for today. Our opening hymn is number 609, Jesus Sinners Doth Receive. Following that hymn, we'll pray the order of Matins, page 219 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing that hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a little spread out this morning. If you need to wander, that's okay. If you don't know somebody's name, go ahead and ask. In Jesus, we're one. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we all like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way. We are thankful for the Good Shepherd who has come down from heaven to save, to gather, to forgive wayward sheep like us. Heavenly Father, today we give you thanks for the Good Shepherd Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection has won for us the forgiveness of sins. It's in His name that we gather, worship, celebrate, and pray. Amen. Amen. 609. 19, please stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me, O Lord. Glory in your heart, and to your Son, and to your Holy Spirit, as was in the beginning, now and forever.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O heart, let us sing to the Lord. Let us hear the voice of God, our salvation. Let us come to His presence.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship Him.
We sing together the introit, pointed for the day.
Consider my affliction and my sorrow.
Hymn 537. 537. Testament reading for the third Sunday after Trinity is from Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of His inheritance? He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We speak together the words of our gradual. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. I call to God, and the Lord will save me. He redeems my soul in sin. The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. To the King of Kings, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after that one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." So just, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Responsory, page 221. Forever, O Lord, Your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need no repentance. Sinners who are brought to repentance and who receive the forgiveness of sins through faith cause joy to be heard in the heavens. It's as if the whole heavenly host, the angels and the saints of God, are sitting on the edges of their seats, waiting to see what will happen to the unrepentant. And when he is brought to see his sin and receives forgiveness for those sins, the whole heavenly host erupts in an inexpressible joy, much like an anxious crowd at a sporting event. But this joy is more profound than that, because it is connected directly to how much danger an unrepentant sinner is in if he does not repent. For the word lost in our parable to describe the sheep can likewise be translated to destroy or to perish. Now it's clear in the context that the sheep is not destroyed and he hasn't perished, at least not yet. But if he is to remain apart from the 99, that is to say, if an unrepentant sinner fails to repent and receive the forgiveness of sins, he will without doubt perish and be destroyed eternally. But when he is restored, when he is brought away from his sin into the forgiveness of sins, the heavenly host rejoices because they have borne witness, quite literally, to a sinner being snatched out of the flames of hell, eternal destruction. That's what awaits all those who would fail to repent, to return again to the congregation of the righteous. St. Augustine once wrote, "The greater the peril of the battle, the more the rejoicing triumph." That is to say, the more you have to lose, the more joyful you are when you don't lose it. And in the case of the unrepentant, he has everything to lose. And indeed, Jesus says, the little that he has will be taken from him. So what happened? How is it that the sheep went astray? How did he get lost in the first place? Whose fault is it? Well, Jesus lays the blame, at least in part, in the lap of the shepherd. For he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, after he has lost one of them?" Now, this is not to excuse the sheep of all blame or guilt. For it often happens that Christians wander away from the faith, even under a faithful shepherd. The warning is twofold, because the parable is being spoken both to the tax collectors and the sinners, and also to the Pharisees and the scribes. To the tax collectors and the sinners, Jesus shows them their end if they do not repent, but likewise shows them their end when they repent and are received back into the sheepfold. To the Pharisees and the scribes, he admonishes them to shepherd God's people according to the Word, to defend them against false teachers, and if they have gone astray, to lead them back with rod and staff to the 99. And what exactly do sheep wander from? Our translation in this text says that the 99 are in the open country. And that sounds quite nice, right? The open country. You get in your mind perhaps a lush meadow where sheep are quietly grazing around enjoying life, much in the way of Psalm 23, green pastures and still waters. But the word for open country would probably be better translated wilderness or desert. And that gives a much different picture than open country. For the wilderness, the desert, is the place of the devil. The place of darkness, the place of fear, where prey go out to be eaten by their predators. And indeed, it is in the wilderness that our Lord Jesus Christ is driven by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. It is in the wilderness that the people of Israel have to remain for a time before they are ushered into the promised land. It is in this wilderness, in the midst of this suffering, that the shepherd feeds and nourishes the 99, and where the shepherd had fed and nourished the one who had gone astray. That is to say, that in the midst of this world, in the midst of the sufferings and the pain of life, the Lord nourishes His people. He comes into their midst to feed them as they suffer the pains of this world. The Apostle John says much the same in his Revelation. There he writes, "She," that is the church, "gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to His throne. And the woman fled to the spa No, into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished in the midst of the sufferings of the world. The church is nourished. And when we understand that the 99 are in the midst of the wilderness and suffering, then it makes more sense that the one goes astray. He goes to find the greener grass, as the saying goes. For to avoid suffering is considered to be the highest good. Even amongst Lutherans who talk often about suffering in the theology of the cross, it's okay to talk about, once in a while, take up your cross and follow Jesus. But how many of us, when we see a cross coming from a mile away, would just as soon avoid it, dodge out of the way, as opposed to taking it up? However, it happens also in life that there are some crosses you cannot do that with. The mother who holds her infant son that has died of pneumonia cannot avoid suffering, especially when vultures would descend into her midst and cast doubt on the existence of a loving God in the midst of such tragedy. A pastor in the Middle East whose head is separated from its body cannot avoid suffering at the hands of radical Islamic terrorists. A teacher who is fired from her post because she will not teach evolution as fact, thus denying her creator in the creation, cannot avoid suffering. That is to say, being a Christian in the world is often difficult. And it's because we live in the midst of a world that hates the name of Christ. They despise it above all other things. And the temptation is to go off and find the greener grass that the world promises to you. The Lord knows this. And for that reason, He has given to us His church. He has given and admonishes pastors to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God for your sake, to deliver to you the means of grace, to watch over the flock that has been entrusted to Him, to defend them against false teachers, to proclaim the gospel that comforts and strengthens them in the midst of the temptations of the flesh and the attacks and assaults of the devil. The church has been given to and for you. The shepherds have been given to and for your sake to guide you into the way of truth and to give to you the consolation of the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. For it is Jesus Himself who is the faithful shepherd. He does not lose His sheep, and if they wander, He Himself goes after them. He goes after them because the calamity that they wander and bumble about in is quite real and very perilous. He desires to throw you over His shoulders, to bear your sin, and to give you consolation. He has shed out His blood for you, to bring you to His home, to rejoice in the repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He brings you to your home so that you can partake of His gifts, of the table of the Lord, His body and His blood. He carries you home and puts you, as Luther would say, into the lap of the church. But He does not do this by whispering into your ear as the wind blows. He does not in mystical fashion descend into your dreams, appearing to you in visions. No, His way is much more mundane than that. He sends shepherds into your midst and demands that when you go astray, they carry you home. And when you are home, to feed you. He sends shepherds to you to announce to you that although the struggle and the pain and the persecution of life is real, although the temptations that drum up in your flesh seek to overcome you, although the devil prowls around at all times seeking you to take your life, our Lord feeds you and comforts you in the midst of that mess, in the midst of the wilderness. And He does it unto the end of the age, where the wilderness will be turned into the open country, where all the sufferings of this life and the pains that go along with them will go away, where sheep no longer wander, and where they are always fed, where you will be next to green pastures and still waters, and you yourself will be with the heavenly host, rejoicing together in the joy of your Lord, world without end. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Congregation stands, we sing the Te Deum.
And welcome in the name of the Good Shepherd who tracks down wayward lost sheep like you and me. Thanks be to God. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a good shepherd for you would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Concludes with the prayers of the church. We begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227. Please stand as you're able. Lord, our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy, multiply your mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayers that are listed in our news and notes, we rejoice with Maynard and Joni Michael as they celebrate their 50th anniversary. We celebrate with Connor Niemeyer and Mariah Stradley, who were joined together yesterday in holy matrimony at our altar. We pray for the family of Arnett Garris, whose mother Pauline was called to her heavenly home yesterday. We pray also for the father of Jerry Garris, who is hospitalized, Cleo Kessler, member here at Good Shepherd, who is hospitalized, and we pray God's blessings on our vacation Bible school just completed. We pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, who received sinners and ate with them. We thank You for never failing to receive sinners like us and for bidding us to rejoice in Your forgiveness and divine life every Lord's Day in the foretaste of the feast to come. Continue to use Your holy word to seek and to save the lost, especially those in our families who do not know You or who despise Your name. Give us lips to sing Your glory and tongues to proclaim Your mercy. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, though our iniquities have offended You, grant that our prayers and our confession of faith may obtain Your mercy, that through Your loving kindness, no tribulation of this world may cause us to despair, and no harmful persuasion may allure us to evil. Let the light of Your favor shine on us, so that we may come to the light of Your everlasting life. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O most glorious Lord, magnify the joys of this earth, that faith in You, as well as Your word, grows among the nations and may fill the whole world. Heavenly Father, we rejoice with all those who are celebrating milestones and anniversaries this day. We especially ask Your blessings upon Maynard and Joni Michael with the milestone of a 50th wedding anniversary this coming Saturday. And we rejoice with Connor Niemeyer and Mariah Stradley joined together in holy matrimony yesterday. Heavenly Father, may Your love for them never grow weary, that their love for each other may grow in the midst of every joy and sorrow shared. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Father, in You is calmness and peace. Heal all breaches that divide Your faithful people, and return us again to unity and love according to Your word. Grant that all Your baptized children may be one, even as You and Your Son, Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, are one. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Father, bless all families with Your tender care. Guide them while awake, guide them as they sleep, and while they are awake, that they may watch with Christ. And while they sleep, they may rest in peace. Let their love for their families and friends be a living picture of the love You have for Your creation. Bless all the work that was done and the lessons that were taught during this week during vacation Bible school. Help children and families and all those connected. Truly give thanks for the fact that they are created and redeemed in Christ Jesus. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, be gracious to all those who are lonely or ill, sick or suffering. We especially remember the father of Jerry Garris, Cleo, Celeste, Marlene, Sarah, Diane, Lori, Chip, Nevaeh, Rosa, Ed, Joe, Daryl, Jan, Callie, Clee, Cindy, Gerald, Sonia, Julie, Dwayne, Charlie, Connie, Brian, Carol, Mark and Bethany, Pastor Siebert, and all those that we remember in our hearts. Comfort them with your presence. Give them confidence to bear the crosses, their crosses, according to your gracious will. Strengthen them with your word in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Grant a special measure of your comfort and peace upon the family of Arnette Garris as she mourns the loss of her mother Pauline. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Please be seated. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hymn 744, Amazing Grace. Just a few quick announcements before we dismiss. Please check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. We have a Voters Assembly coming up. The details are in there. It's the last Tuesday in June. Also, we're in our summer Sunday school mode. We need teachers. If you can help, Jenny, raise your hand. If you have any questions, talk to Jenny. We can use some teachers. That would be a great help. It's an opportunity to give our regular Sunday school teachers some time off during the summer so they can get their batteries recharged as well. We'll have Sunday school opening in here at 9:20. Two opportunities for Bible study today. We'll continue our look at the book of Ecclesiastes in the fellowship hall. We have kind of an on-again, off-again summary of Christian doctrine class that we're trying to piece together through the summer when the folks can be here. And today, by the grace of God, is on-again. Vicar will be leading that in room 109. What's the topic, Vicar?
Who is man?
Who is man? A poor, miserable sinner. Oh, all right. Okay. So, that's in room 109. We heard in our prayers today that we have a great milestone that we are celebrating. Maynard, Joni, you want to stand up? All right. Let's see here. June 18, 1966. June 18, 2016. That's this coming Saturday. Psalm 121, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Congratulations, 50 years. Thanks be to God. All right. Here we go. All right. Now, it's supposed to be a secret, but Bob McClellan makes those crosses too, so you might want to pat him on the back. Vicar, anything else?
I would just say, you mentioned Mark in the prayers. Summer grade reading starts tomorrow, so definitely keep him in your prayers to the world.
Okay, out of sight, out of mind sometimes happens. Mark and Bethany Krantz made the move from their house in Seward to Fort Wayne. Summer Greek starts tomorrow. I didn't do Summer Greek, but I did Summer Hebrew. And you have 40 days that seem like 40 years out in the wilderness. So prayers for encouragement and support, especially with the baby on the way too. That would be great. Great reminder. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Sunday school opening in here at 9:20. Have a great day and week in the loving arms of the Good Shepherd.